Welcome to the weekly podcast from Gorebridge Parish Church. For more teaching or to find out more about life at Gorebridge Parish Church, please visit our website, gorepc.com.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you guys. I get the pleasure of speaking to you this morning, and I think for me it's lovely. Remembrance is just such a good time to just have that opportunity to stop and really remember what has gone before, and it's great in the way that that has been done already this morning. But for me, I really want to speak a little bit about something else. Because I think the thing for me is that the basis of Christianity, and my understanding, the basis of what I believe is that it is good news. It is good news. And I think for me, the great thing about good news is that even in the midst of bad times and of hard times and of suffering, it remains good news. The great thing about good news is that it doesn't change at any point. And even when life is hard, and even when we can look back and see so much suffering and so much pain and so much death and so much wrong, and there's no doubt that that's the case, the good news that we hold on to as Christians, the good news that we believe as Christians in Jesus, doesn't change at all. And I think this morning, I want to focus on that good news. Because in the midst of all suffering, there's hope. In the midst of all trials, there is good news. And that's what I want to talk about a little bit this morning. Do you know, I think that when we have that moment to look at the world and reflect on all that's gone past, but even in terms of war, what Ian was sharing in here about the amount of death there's already been in the 2,000 pluses, you know, war is still happening. There's still so many deaths, so much suffering, year on year on year. And there is so much to be afraid of, just from a human perspective in the world at the moment. You don't have to watch the news for more than 10 minutes to find out reasons to be afraid. But you know, the amazing thing about Jesus is he existed at a time, and he lived in a time where Rome was the kind of dominant empire. And the amazing thing about Rome is it was one of the most threatening empires ever to exist. If you stood up against it at all, they would just kill you. There was so much that was wrong, and there was so much suffering and so much pain in Rome that I don't think it looked dissimilar to what we talk about nowadays, just different. And Jesus existed and walked in the midst of those times, saw everything that went on, wasn't blind to it. And in the New Testament, what is the one thing that he tells the believers more than anything else? The most said command of Jesus is, do not fear, do not be afraid. That's what he talks about all the time. Don't fear, don't be afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear. Don't be afraid. And I think the wonderful thing about Jesus is that in the midst of every circumstance, every suffering, every bit of pain, he's going, don't fear, don't be afraid. There's love to be found. There's love to be found. What a wonderful thing. So I want to start off with a little game. Because, you know, I work with the youth in this place, so we play games. So if I'm speaking, games are happening. That's what's going down. So we're going to do a game called the Perspective Game. And it's really, really simple. All it is I'm going to show five pictures up on the screen. And they'll be zoomed in really heavily, right? So it's quite hard to tell what the thing is. So have a chat with the folk around you, see if you can figure it out. I'll give you a little bit of time to figure it out. Then we'll click on the next slide and show you what it actually is, okay? So this is number one. That is your number one thing in Perspective Game. What is that? Feel free to chat to the people around you. Try and figure it out, because then you can hold each other to account. Nothing worse than people not saying a thing and then going, yeah, I knew it was that. Okay, so have a chat, see what you think. Okay, and I'm going to reveal it round about now, okay? So that is number one in this game, and that is actually an apple. Oh, yes, that was an apple. Anybody get it right? Hands up if you got it right. Oh, man, well played. Good job. Okay, round two. There is five rounds total, okay? So we're getting there. We'll go through it fast. Round two is this. Oh, I like the confused face. That was good. Willie, your confused face was great. What is that? Have a chat again, because you got to let your neighbor know what you think. Okay, three, two, one. Going to click on. Here we go. It's a piece of chewing gum. Yeah, piece of chewing gum. Anybody get that one? There's celebration over there. Well done, Kate. Okay, next one, round three. Ooh. Right, hang on. I'm going to give you a clue with this one, because anyone I've trialed this on has not got this right, okay? So the pressure's on. But The first deal with this is it's not a foodstuff, because almost everybody has guessed a red pepper. And it is not a red pepper, and it's actually made of metal. So there's your clue, okay? There's your clue. You got a couple of seconds to chat, and then we'll reveal it. Okay, 3, 2, 1, and the top of a Coke bottle. Top of a Coke bottle. Oh, man, I see someone celebrating. Somebody got that. Well played if you got that. Well done. Okay, next round is this one, round 4. There's one to go after this. I like this round. I think this, when you get it, you're like, oh, yeah, that's so obvious. But while you don't have it, it's really confusing. So here you go. Have a quick chat on this one, then we'll see what we think. Okay, going to move this one on. 3, 2, 1. It's a key. It's a key. See, everyone just had that moment of going, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. All right, last and final round. Let's see if you can get this one. Last and final round. Okay. I'm not going to lie, I'm going to make myself look bad. I got this wrong, my wife got this right, so this caused division in my house. Okay. 3, 2, 1. It's a pencil. Hey, I like that. We finished on a high. Most people got it right. Superb. Guys, thank you for playing. Thank you for playing. I hope you enjoyed our perspective game. I feel like I need a theme tune, but I don't have one. Okay. But guys, you know why I'm playing that game? Partly for fun, yes, but a bit beyond that too. Do you know, I think the thing with God that's wonderful is that when we're going through suffering, I don't know if you guys are like this, but when we're going through suffering, for me, we get so focused in on what we're going through and so focused in on the struggle that we're in at that moment, on what's really hard at that moment, that we lose that ability to zoom out and actually see what's going on. That we lose that ability to almost get perspective on the areas of our life when we're really, really struggling. I think for me, whenever I'm going through a really hard time, my head goes so much in the sand that all I'm thinking about is the thing I'm struggling with until it's dealt with. So I don't know if there's any other men in this room like me. I get man flu in the extreme, right? I get a cough and I'm done. Like, a cough means life's over. You may as well phone the hospital. Ross can't get up today, right? I'm awful. And I think the thing for me is that when I feel ill, I struggle to feel anything else because I'm just so focused in on the fact that I feel ill that I struggle to get on anything else. So I think that for me, you know, God offers us that ability. And the great thing about God is that he sees the bigger picture and he sees it all the time. He knows what's going on. And there's a promise that he makes to us in the Bible that I absolutely love. And I want to share it with you. It's from Romans 8, verse 28. And it says this: "And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him." Do you know, I think my news this morning in terms of good news is this. If you love God, then no matter what you're going through right now, God is working for your good. If you love God, no matter what you're going through right now, God's working for your good. And do you know the amazing thing? Is there's so many friends I have in this room and so many people I know who love Jesus, who love God, who are at this point where they've gone through some really hard times. And see, if you speak to them once the hard time's finished and they get to look back, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing. But with 2020 hindsight, when you look back on what you've been through, just about everyone will go, oh, man, I totally see the goodness of God in it now. It doesn't mean at the time you saw it. It doesn't mean at the time you knew it. But when you look back, you can go, I saw how God was working there. And the wonderful thing is, as a Christian, you know that no matter what you're going through, God is working for your good. Because, you know, call me crazy, but if there's one thing I believe God is not, it's a liar. And if God's not a liar, then when he promises stuff, he means it. So when God promises us that he's working for our good in all situations, totally believe that he is. Let me ask a few little questions and see what you guys think. Here's question one. When we have been wronged, what do we want? Let me expand a little bit. I wanted to make the question longer, but the longer it is in a slide, the less we actually read, right? So I want to put that up there. And what I mean by this is, in life, when something has happened to you, when someone's done something to you that was mean or that wasn't nice or they've hurt you, what do you want for them? What do you want for them? Give me some answers. Shout out. It's okay. Oh, justice, man. We hit spot on straight away. That's what I was hoping for. Good job, Susie. Happy days. I didn't plant her, I promise. But, you know, I think that's absolutely right. You know, I was thinking there'd be a few answers that might get shouted out, like revenge, justice, bad things, you know, that kind of stuff. But when people have done things to us that are wrong and they've hurt us and it felt intentional, we want them to be held to account, right? It's like, you did this, you deserve that, whatever it is, right? You were late for school this many times, you deserve a detention. You deserve a punishment exercise. You screwed up at work, you deserve this in return. Whatever else. And we have this idea that no matter what hits us in life and no matter how people treat us, what's fair is justice, right? Justice is what's fair. I think justice, easy way to describe it is this. It's getting what you deserve, right? Your behavior means that you deserve this. That's justice. The law dictates if you do that, you get this. And that's what justice is. And I think actually when we've been wrong, it tends to be what we want. Let's put the next one up. When we have wronged other people, what do we want? So when we've been the ones that have hurt someone else, we might have meant it, we might not have meant it. I think in general people are good though, you know what I mean? I think most of the time that I hurt people in life, it's an accident. Sometimes, I mean, at very rare occasion, people have to have done an awful lot for me to get there. But I hurt people a lot more regularly than I mean to. So actually, when we've wronged other people, what is it we want to be treated with? What do you guys think? Yeah, forgiveness. Yeah, absolutely. I think for me, the one that came out there, I think it's mercy, right? We want to be treated with mercy. And actually, what is mercy? Well, mercy is just not getting what you deserve, right? It's like when you did this, so you deserve that, but I'm going to show you mercy, so we're just going to let you off. It's okay. You don't have to do the detention. You don't have to do the punishment. You don't have to go to jail, whatever. But mercy is just getting let off with what you've done. Because most of the time, I think when we hurt people, we don't mean it. So if we're looking at it that way, okay, and we're saying that first one, justice, getting what you deserve. Second one, mercy, not getting what you deserve. Do you know what the amazing thing is? In all situations, what does God give those that he loves? What does God give those that he loves in all situations? Do you know what? It's actually beyond mercy. It's even better. It's something called grace, right? That justice is getting what you deserve. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. What's grace? Grace is getting something you don't deserve. It's so much better. It's like going, you deserve death, but I'm going to give you life. You deserve darkness, but I'm going to give you light. You deserve a life separated from God, but I'm going to give you full relationship with him. That would be grace, right? It's beyond anything we can think of. It's beyond anything we can hope for, and it's beyond anything we can deserve. But actually, the way God treats us is with grace. He goes, you may deserve this, but I want to give you everything good, and I don't want you to be separate from it. Whether you deserve it or not, whether you want it or not, whether you think you deserve it or not, that's what I want to give you. And why? Well, because he loves you so much. And actually, I want to talk about one verse here. This is just about my favorite Bible verse of all time. I love it, so I want to share it with you. It's Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9, and it says this, "For it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Let me read it one more time. "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Do you know the wonderful thing about being a Christian is there's nothing I can do to earn God's forgiveness, there's nothing I can do to earn right relationship with him, nothing, nothing, nothing. I think so often you end up with this perspective that Christians are the ones who are like, you know, we think we're better than everybody else. So you get all those kind of, it's ridiculous. The only thing that we've realized is that we're never good enough to please God on our own. And we've gone, God, please help. We're completely the other end of the scale. And I think the thing for me is that this brings it back to that point of it is a gift from God. It's nothing that we can do to earn. It's by his grace, our life earned something else. But God has given us life with him. It is the gift of God. It's not from ourselves. It's not by our works. We can't do anything to earn it. I can't boast about the fact I've been saved apart from the fact that Jesus is awesome and he saved me. That's all I can boast of. And actually, how good is that? How good is that? God is so good. And actually, here's the question. How does Jesus see us? Or more to the point, how does Jesus see you? Because I think the thing is that for each of us, we have our own view of our own self-value, right? This is what I'm worth. We compare ourselves to the world around us all the time, right? Who here uses social media regularly? Hands up if you use any social media regularly, like Facebook, Twitter, anything like that. Yeah? I've got a a friend who's a pastor used this line. I absolutely love it. He goes, we live in a world of comparison nowadays because everybody presents versions of themselves all the time. But the problem is we do it on social media. So we're constantly comparing our behind the scenes because we know what we're like away from the computer to everybody else's A-game because the only thing they present online is what they want you to see. And we're left in this place where we're constantly comparing our life to other people. And we're constantly trying to see, are we good enough? Do we make it? Do we not make it? And the wonderful thing about how Jesus sees us is Jesus looks at you and sees what? Well, we're all called sons, daughters of God, right? We're his children. God looks at you and sees someone of value. He sees someone worth dying for. He sees someone worth loving. He sees someone absolutely worth it. So if you look at yourself and you don't see that, I'm really sorry that you feel like that. But at the same time, in God's eyes, it's not the case at all because through Christ, we're all made worthy. And that's wonderful. I want to share one more verse. One of these is super famous, and the second one we always miss. So come with John 3:16-17. So John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Right? Famous verse. So God loves you so much that he gave Jesus to die so that you could be back with him, that you don't have to perish but you can have eternal life because he loves you so much. But what does the next bit of it say? For God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Well, what's condemn? Condemn's going justice, right? You did this, you deserve that. Your life hasn't made God's standards, you deserve to be separate from him. But actually, God's going, I'm not interested in condemnation. I want to save you. I want to bring you home. So if you have this view in your head that God's ever beaten you up with a behavior stick going, you're not good enough, I don't know what God you believe in, but it's not the one of the Bible. Because that's just not who he is. It's not his character. He's not like that. He's constantly calling people home in love because they mean that much to him. Do you know what? I know. Aww. So, at the moment, you're looking at two of my favorite people in the world. The one sitting holding the other one is Eden. That is my eldest daughter. She's going to be 4 very soon. And the one that she's holding is Ariel. She is my youngest daughter, and she is 12 weeks, 13 weeks today. Am I right, Fee? Yes, I got it right. Excellent. That could have been a long car drive. So that's wonderful. But Eden is just coming on 4, and Ariel's just coming on 13 weeks. They're both wonderful, wonderful kids. Why am I showing you pictures of them, though? Well, it's really simple, actually. Really simple. Because if we're called God's children, then God's going to see a value in us, right? And I want to explain something to you just quickly. For me, my two girls are wonderful. And actually, see if Eden and Ariel behave perfectly all day today. Do you know how much I love them tonight? I love them so much. They're just brilliant. I will have had a great day with them too if they behaved perfectly all day. And I'll love them so much by tonight. And do you know what? If they're little terrors all day and they don't listen to a word I say and they don't behave and they wind me up all day, which is amazing, man. Eden's coming on 4. She knows every button to press. It's incredible. So actually, if they wind me up all day and we have an awful day together and whatever else, do you know how much I love them when they go to bed tonight? No less than I would have if they've been awful all day or if they've been good all day. Exactly the same. I like them a lot better when I put them to bed tonight if they've been good all day. Absolutely, I like them a lot better. I will love them no different. Because do you know why? Because the value that my kids have in my eyes is not based on how they behave. It's not based on whether they're good enough. It's not based on how good they are at life, how nice they treat other people, how nice they treat me. The value that they have in my eyes is because they're mine. They're my kids and I love them to bits. And if they behave, great. If they don't behave, that's a pain in the backside. But at the same time, do I love them any different? No. They're flipping wonderful and they're mine. And do you know the thing? If you're God's kids and God refers to himself as a perfect father, then do you know no matter what your life's looked like up to this point, the value that God places on you as his kid is intrinsic. Your value doesn't change because of what your life's been. Your value doesn't change because of who you've been. It doesn't change because of who you are. It doesn't change because of how you've treated anyone. God looks at you and loves you so much. Why? Because you're his kid. It doesn't matter about anything else. Whether you know you're his kid or not, whether you've ever acknowledged it or not, whether you've been his kid and decided to walk away, whatever else, God always welcomes back, always loves. Your value's always the same. And why is that? Because you're his kid, and that doesn't change. That doesn't change. And that has to be the best news ever. That no matter the suffering you go through, no matter how hard life is, no matter how good life is, value never changes. And God loves you that much. He loves you that much. Last thing I want to do, actually, is this. Hang on. I'll go get some. Hey. It's not a maraca, but it is a present. I got a present for one of my friends this morning. Thought I'd bring it down. So I'm just going to... Actually, where should I put it? I'll put it here. I'll put it here. There we go. Cool. So... It's not a big present, right? I'm not going to pretend that it's super valuable. It's not. But it is a present, and it's for one of my friends, Brian. Brian, are you here? Oh, Brian's up the back. He's there. Yes, he's waving. He's the big bald guy that smiles all the time. We like Brian. Brian's one of my really good friends. I really like Brian. He helps out with a lot of stuff we do around here, and he's just always been there for me and my family as well while he's been around. Really value his friendship. He's a really good guy. So I decided to buy him a present. But do you know the weird thing about a gift? The weird thing about a gift is as long as it's sitting there, it's just kind of useless, isn't it? It's just sort of... Brian, this is a little bit awkward. We got your present, it's just sort of sitting there. Do you know, I know Brian quite well. He's been one of my friends for a long time. I know the kind of stuff he likes. And I mean, unless I'm going to buy him something really expensive with a motor in it, everything below that is, you know... It's going to be okay, but I know the kind of stuff he likes. I know he'd like it. It's just sort of sitting there. But do you know the weird thing is, in a lot of ways, God does this for us. Let me explain what I mean. What I mean is this. If God's bought salvation through what Jesus did, let me explain that in simpler terms. If God's brought a way for you to get back into relationship with him and for a way for you to know how loved you are and to be back in his presence, and if God's given you that gift through what Jesus did on the cross, which, by the way, he has, then God's at this point where actually he's going, well, the gift's there, is there. You can be back. You can come back home. Doors open. Keys are there. Gifts waiting. Best relationship ever. All the benefits of being in a relationship with God right here. The gift's there. Anybody want to take it? And actually, he leaves the ball entirely in our court. The weird thing is, for Eden and Ariel, like I said earlier, if they behave and love me and are good to me, and we have a good relationship where it's kind of equal, the one thing that happens is they get the benefit of having a good dad, right? They get the benefit of the relationship with me, which is what? I'll play with them, I'll have fun with them, I'll chat to them, we'll have a great laugh, and we'll have a lot of fun together. If they're really mean to me, I don't love them any less, but the relationship they have with me that day is not a good one. They spend time in, time out, we don't get on that well, I get cranky, they get cranky, and then that's a vicious circle until Fee fixes it. And actually, do you know, may as well be honest. But when that's the case, it's kind of weird because the benefit that you get when you choose to come home is the relationship with Jesus. It's salvation. It's eternity in heaven. It's everything that comes in this life too. It's a life with purpose, with love, with grace, filled with relationships where love is at the real core. But love beyond just ourselves. And it's an incredible thing to live in. It's the best life that you can live. And God's left that gift open for us. And the weird thing is, unless we choose to receive it, say thank you, and enjoy the gift, all it remains is a gift sitting on a step. It doesn't benefit our life at all. It doesn't do anything. And if Brian chose to stay up the back just now all day, because this is getting progressively more awkward, and never come down and take this gift, then actually, he gets no benefit of the gift. He doesn't know what it is. It doesn't affect his life at all. He doesn't get to enjoy it. But actually, if Brian comes down and takes the gift off me, then actually, he gets to enjoy it. So there you go, my friend. But now you can open it, see what it is, enjoy it. Thought of him when I bought it. I'm not going to lie, I thought of me too, because it's one of my favorite things as well. And it's definitely not a maraca. But yeah, we'll see what's happening. There are a few things that Brian loves more in life than coffee, right? So we got Brian. Simple gift, but straight for him. So thank you so much, Brian. Thank you for coming up. Thank you for coming up. So, and in the same way, like I was saying earlier, the gift that God has for us is of relationship with him. It's of coming home. It's of finding salvation, finding our purpose, finding life to the full, as the Bible would call it. And that is open to every single person. Because the value on you is intrinsic, because you're his kid, whether you know it or not. So let me say this to finish. I really want to pray to finish. But when I pray, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to basically say, God, thank you for this gift, and we choose to receive it, actually. I'm not going to say that much more than that. So if you're in a position where you've never received the gift of God in relationship with him, and you want to for the first time and experience that life to the full and take the step, then pray it with me. Just in your head, but pray it with me. If you have been there and you've chosen to walk away and you're wanting to come back, pray it with me. And actually, if you're there right now, but you just want to affirm where you are, then pray it with me. So there you go. We can include everyone. Join in. So I just want to pray for us as a congregation. Say thank you, God, for today. But offer that chance too, because actually, if life to the full has been found there, I don't see how we as Christians can love people if we don't offer the opportunity to find it too. So I just want to pray for you guys. So let's pray.